Hello. Welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where both hosts think that Who Let the Dogs Out is the best jock jam.
Ooh.
I am taping today from New York City, our South Street Seaport studios. I'm here doing High Noon for a few days with Pablo Torre. But the real reason I'm here is that I get to podcast today with my pal.
Ooh.
Is that okay, pal?
Yes, I'll take it.
I always ask people after saying it, like I should probably ask before we start taping.
As long as you don't call me chief or boss, pal's cool.
I don't know if I've ever called anyone boss, unironically. But this is Adam Lefkoe.
Hey.
From Bleacher Report.
Good to be here.
You can find him on Twitter at Adam Lefkoe.
Yep.
He is the host of, well, it's confusing.
It is, isn't it?
Because, sorry to spit. Because your podcast is still called Sims and Lefkoe,
but it's
just you now.
Yep. Chris left me. He went to that NBC station in the sky, and I'm leaving it up to the audience. I've put out some forms for people to fill out for name suggestions, everything from Lefkoe and Co. to Left Coalition to Somebody in Lefkoe, which I think is my personal favorite.
Somebody in Lefkoe?
Yeah, because then I like that the first name is usually the more meaningful one, but it's been reduced to Somebody.
Yeah.
But I'm going to leave it up to the fans. Let them pick it.
Have you thought about getting a dog? As your co-host?
Well,
I mean, that would be kind of ripping me
out. I can't steal your gimmick.
Yeah, that would be
weird. Yeah.
Did you say gimmick? Because
Sorry.
I think what you meant is very serious podcast structure.
I'm excited to be here, though, for real. I listen to your podcast all the time, and I'm excited for the Lenny question, and even the music got me excited.
Wow.
I'm not prepared.
It's quite a vast departure from last week with the Shipping Container, where none of them had listened to my podcast, except for Mike Ryan. Shout out to Mike Ryan. Adam's voice, if you've noticed, it sounds awesome. Frankly,
I
really wish my voice sounded like yours. It's because you've been really busy. You called the Rising Stars game in Charlotte.
First play-by-play ever.
I think we've got some sound of that, actually. Can we hear it?
Welcome inside the Spectrum Center right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, as TNT continues its coverage of All-Star Weekend. Happy to have you here, including you, Grandmom, and I'm joined by two style icons, Danny Green, Frank Kaminsky,
Grandmom.
I can't tell you. So, shout out to Danny Green and Frank Kaminsky. They had never done a game before. I had done like all-star games or celebrity games, and you run through it on the court, and we couldn't hear each other. It's loud, and I knew I was going to do the grandma shout out, but I wasn't going to do it during rehearsals because I didn't want them to go, hey, Adam, you know, this is a serious thing.
Yeah.
So I got it in there because my grandma, ever since I left local TV, has been very upset with me. Because I've just been on the internet, and she doesn't know what that is. So when I was a local reporter in Louisville, she could tell all her friends I was on TV.
Yeah.
So this was my first time being on TV, and my cousin shot video of her, and I could retire.
They got a reaction to being name-checked.
Just glowing.
Wow.
And I could be done now.
I name-checked my dog on TV all the same time, but he doesn't care.
If somebody sent you video of you saying Lenny on TV and he barked at the screen.
That would be the mountaintop.
My grandma barked at the screen. Same thing.
Thank you for not being insulted that I compared your grandmother to my dog because some people don't like that.
Hey.
You know, like when the kids sing. You know.
They're both very adorable.
So this is a weird time. Your podcast, again, for those that you should really subscribe. It's really awesome. I listen to it. And I'll continue to listen to it.
Yeah, well, here I'll just give you a kind of an idea of what my plan is for the next few months, I'm just going to travel around and talk to NFL players. I think Sims was always the in-depth football analysis guy, and I was always the let's bring human elements to these athletes.
Well, you've got good analysis, too.
I appreciate that.
I like your takes as well, otherwise you wouldn't be on this show. The takes have to be en fuego.
I just think that I'm ready to go and find my next kind of co-host. I don't know what your contract situation is, but we can figure something out.
Well, hey, anyone who's listening, he's looking for a co-host.
Yeah, just come
by. This is like on like radio shows like Stern or something when someone reveals that they're single and then the radio is like, hey, ladies, he's looking for love.
Sliding those DMs.
He's single and he's ready to mingle with a podcast co-host. Well, what I was going to say is your podcast is an NFL podcast as well. So even though you did cover the Rising Stars game and you love basketball like me, but it's a kind of awkward time in the NFL season to be podcasting about, except for the gift that is Antonio Brown, which we will get to. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving us content.
And his magical mustache.
A lot to discuss. Do you think it looks like he was drinking pee?
Oh.
That was, but then pee doesn't really like it.
Stain that much.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. I had pretty good tickets to the All-Star game yesterday. And we're sitting there and Antonio Brown walks by. This is an NBA crowd. So they're not going to go crazy nuts, but they know who he is. And he has a full-length mink coat. He has the mustache. He has the braids in his hair. And then he's got like a full Gucci tracksuit underneath.
It's a lot of look.
But everybody was going, dude, what's up with him? He looks crazy.
It's the mustache. He would be fine if not for the mustache.
It's all the mustache.
All of these other elements would be
There's
fine.
There's always a gleam in his eye, though.
Yeah.
Like he has that Antonio Brown gleam.
Yes.
But it was just weird to see him there. He was not in his element. He wasn't being recognized that much. And it with everything that's going on Twitter, it just added a layer of what's like, really going on right
surreal.
Now.
Surreal.
Yeah.
Well, and he is a guy. So I did a story on him in 2015.
So you probably know him well.
Things were different back then. His hair was terraced like a little pyramid.
Right.
So, you know, which was indicative, I think, of a different emotional state. But he had many of the same. He obviously wasn't tweeting and all that. And really, his reputation coming out of college and the first few years in Pittsburgh, this dude works harder than any other player. His coaches adored him.
I mean, late round pick,
loved
grinder.
What a Cinderella, total grinder. I mean, I remember one of his college coaches at CMU, I believe. He had Butch Jones, actually. But it wasn't him. It was an assistant who told me he did, when he walked into his apartment once in college, he had like ladder drills set up
in his own apartment.
Like, that's how hard
best.
This dude grinded. So, but the one thing that he did have then that he has now, was this desire to be known. He's always wanted to be known. And I think that plays into what's going on. Well, that was the story. It was, you know, he's from Liberty City where,
right.
like, by the way, every football player in America is from, basically. And T.Y. Hilton was, too. And the story was about the two of them
right.
and sort of their interconnecting
paths. I used to get really annoyed when we would judge Odell for the sideline tantrum and Antonio Brown would get nothing. Because there's been so many documented instances over the years. And now it's like Antonio Brown had all this goodwill of getting by and no one noticing it. And he's just cashed in all the chips.
Yeah.
Saying like Big Ben is part of the franchise and if you speak up, you lose your money. And it's wild. And I think even Vegas right now still has Pittsburgh as the team that he's going to play for next year.
Wow.
But I don't see how that's possible. He avoids the meeting with the Rooney. Like, I don't know, man.
But I want to talk about that further. But before, I just want to let listeners know we're recording this on Monday.
Yes.
So there's some key dates. As weird as I know. As
franchise tags are going to
So
ruin
February
everything.
19th is, when the tags start hitting franchise and transition tags. It's the first day that teams can designate them. That goes through March 5th. And then free agency begins March 11th. But we're going to. Today, we're going to talk about Brown. I want to talk about Le'Veon, who, you know, his counterpart in dissatisfaction, perhaps, although he's handled it very differently now. And it's interesting to think about that in light of Brown. And then I want to talk, we got a list of the top 10 free agents. A lot of guys who, by the time this comes out, might be franchised.
Probably be tagged.
Some of them will be. So I want to talk about them a little bit. And then if we have time, kind of want to get into this Kaepernick stuff, too. So, you know, it's a slow day, but it's not really.
I call this source season. Where everyone, you don't even know who the sources are. We take it and we run with it. I saw one earlier today that a former scout says Kyler Murray is locked as top pick. And then we run with it like who is this scout? And if he's a former scout, was he fired for not being a good scout? The next few weeks, sources say, and unless it's Schefter or Glazer, or one of the big ones, I just don't believe it. I think it's all nonsense.
I want to get a second dog and name that dog Anonymous Scout so that I can just tweet stuff like, Anonymous Scout.
Yeah, didn't finish its food earlier today. Yeah.
Was upset when I told him about Antonio Brown demanding a trade.
Oh,
so,
see, that's smart.
There is some, I don't want to call it news, but movement on the Antonio Brown story.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw NBC's Peter, he's NBC now, right? Peter King.
Yes.
Said that at least one team told him that, it's a no-go for them because of the tweets. Now, again, this is stuff.
Right.
It's silly season, right? A lot of teams that would like Antonio Brown to be on their team would very much like for us to think that they don't want Antonio Brown to be on his team.
True.
Because they don't want to give up first-round pick for them. So, and we saw the tweets. Guys, go to his Twitter page. I don't want to read them all. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Basically, he goes after Tomlin. That caught my eye. Rooney, that one's a little hard to read, kind of what he's saying. The Ben one is not hard to read.
No,
he basically says Roethlisberger, you know, has an owner mentality, which is why he calls out his teammates and players.
Yeah.
There's a lot to break down there, and I have my thoughts about that stuff as well. But I guess first I want to ask you about this Peter King, this notion that teams are, like, scared off on Antonio Brown. Like, do you buy that? And do, if you're a team, if you got a, you know, would you give up a first or a second for this
guy? I think it's the perfect storm of being scared. I think he's at 30, which already scares teams just because it's that magic number in the league. Two, the Steelers are the organization. It's the Giants. It's one of the original six. You know, it's one of those ones that if you can't make it there with an ownership group that's all about the players and they give you guaranteed money up front and not even over time, and you have a players coach in Mike Tomlin that lets you do your thing all week. And I know from people very close to this organization that he's been getting away with things forever because he balls on Sunday. And we've seen those stories come out too. So if it doesn't work there, what are these other – now talent always supersedes.
Yes.
And coaches will go, we can make it work. But also, diva wide receivers – and I say, quote, diva in the perception of owners – they're always afraid of them. I feel like they're always afraid to kind of throw their money at them because of this story, this paradigm that's been created about the position for so long. Mm. I mean, the names that always make sense to me are the Niners would have made sense, some of the teams that really could use that slot receiver, but he's going to ask for a lot of money. And I don't think he's going to get it with all of this. I just think it's the perfect storm of scaring off other franchises.
Whoa, let's actually – so, you know, his contract is a good
he's
value.
He's locked in.
It's 3 years left. It's cheap. It's like, I think, $13 million on average.
But the Steelers have to pay it if they trade him, right?
Yeah, well, so – forget the Steelers for a second. Okay. From another team's perspective, like say you're the Niners or the Colts or whatever team that could use him. Tasty, right?
Yeah.
The Cowboys. I gotta stop using tasty to describe NFL things.
Why?
Because it sounds creepy.
No,
like when
I
go back
so.
And listen to it later, I'm like, what a delicious trade. I'm like, ew. But
I see what you're saying. If the Steelers are picking up the tab.
And that quick strike offense, that is tasty and did not play.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not gonna back. But anyways, forget that. Forget the Steelers thing. His contract right now,
comparison to other wide receivers, yeah.
It's a deal, okay? Yes. And I know he's 30, but we're talking about a guy, he still led the league in receiving touchdowns last year. Receiving yards the year before, he's still awesome.
It's still AB.
He's still awesome. So it's a great contract. I'm not sure he's...
Would you want him on the Seahawks?
Yes.
You would?
Well...
See?
It's unusual. That locker room's unusual.
Because you have to think Doug can handle him in the wide receiver room,
and
hopefully.
And Russell Wilson,
yes.
Dude, because we've seen that... They get upended by bigger personalities.
True.
But I think that's unique.
And you have a good coach to handle it too in Pete Carroll.
I mean, I just don't want it. But I don't – Antonio Brown, I'm not sure if he actually – he hasn't been talking about money. I don't know if you noticed that. Like
respect.
It's about respect. He even – one of his tweets, I believe, was like, dude, I've made a lot of money. Like I don't know if you're the one of these other trade partners, if you're assuming you're going to have to –
You know why this is all
bust
happening.
Bust open the trade part.
Juju.
The Juju and the MVP stuff, totally. Yeah, the respect thing.
I said in about week 8 that I thought Juju was a better receiver. Like, I would rather have Juju than Antonio Brown.
Charles McDonald said that on the show, and I scoffed so loud, like, the microphone crackled, and now I regret that scoff.
Why?
I regret it, I'm saying. It was...
No, but I think I'm also kind of crazy.
I mean,
I don't even trust myself with that statement.
Well, when you take into account age and all that stuff,
I don't
see
Antonio Brown outrunning people for 97 yards.
Yeah, but Antonio Brown is the most crispest, most ingenious route runner in the NFL.
And him on the sidelines is incredible, and in big games, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I know.
But okay, so there's that, but then from the Steelers' point of view, right? Because you just said earlier that they're the favorite to keep him or something. Right?
Yeah, according to Vegas, they're still a favorite.
You know what I know. I mean, I'm looking at the dollar figures right now. They are terrible.
Awful.
Terrible for Pittsburgh. Like, if they don't save any money by releasing him. It's like $1 million. You know, it's going to hit the cap either way at about 20 to 23.
Sure.
They could split it over 2 years. It's still going to be massively horrible. I mean, teams don't pay players $20 million or more to not play for them.
True.
That's the situation. So with the Steelers, really the only way they can get anything out of it at this point is if they do have, like, execute a trade.
If you're another team, what leverage do the Steelers have? You have a wide receiver that's already said he doesn't want to play there. You have already paid him all of the money.
Yeah.
Oh, and now you want 2 first-round picks? Why?
Well, they're not. I mean, let's.
That's what. But I mean, you start off super high. Okay, fine. We'll take a first and a third. No. We'll give you a third.
Unless you're competing with another
team. And then
team,
you're going to go to the Steelers fan base, who probably so many of them have those 84 jerseys.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, we traded him for a third? No way.
They've turned on him, though.
You think so? I mean, I saw the furnace video where they like threw his, which is like the most disturbing.
I mean, but the thing about NFL fan bases is, and I don't blame this, blame them necessarily for this. They root for the team first and foremost. And beyond that, they root for the quarterback because the quarterback is the team.
And he's there typically for a decade.
Yes. And the Steelers are not moving on from Ben Roethlisberger.
No.
So you go against a quarterback, and I can point to numerous examples throughout NFL history, you're done, right? Mm-hmm. And even though, look, I don't think, I've heard all the same things you have about Antonio Brown and the drama and the stuff he's done over the years, and I don't think any of it is helpful.
Right.
But I saw that tweet about Ben. Where is the lie? Okay, because people defend Ben Roethlisberger going out and criticizing his teammates. They'll say, well, he's a quarterback. He's won Super Bowls. Adam, what other quarterback does that?
Right.
Does Tom Brady do that?
What other quarterback really doesn't practice all week and goes out there in a baseball hat and throws balls wherever he wants and doesn't really care? I totally get it. You know what's a funny dichotomy? Saturday, Adam Silver goes on stage and announces that they're in the works of creating a jersey where if your player gets traded, you can change the name and the number on it.
Yeah.
And the NFL, we burn them. You know, just like...
Well, they burn LeBron's, too.
The NBA, though, it's a players' league.
Well, but they're thinking
that
way.
The NFL is a logo league.
They're thinking that way. You're right. And teams are more likely to root... They'll follow a player, even, right?
Oh, my gosh.
LeBron guys followed him to...
One of my best friends is a LeBron fan, and he'll tell Lakers fans, I don't like your team, I like LeBron.
I think that's weird.
Yeah, I think it's weird, too.
I'm not an imbecile. I'm not going to burn a jersey or turn against a player who gets cut by my team or whatever.
When's the last time you bought a jersey?
Oh, I buy jerseys all the time.
Do you really?
I'm totally unashamed of it.
Well, would you admit who you bought right now?
I can tell you the last one.
Because you're a journalist.
I don't care.
Ooh.
I have a Seahawks Super Bowl tattoo, Adam.
Like,
this
really?
Is none of this is a secret.
Good for you.
I've got two Earl Thomases. Speaking of guys.
We're going to get to free agents.
Fan
yeah.
bases. Turned against. I haven't bought a Seattle one in a minute, actually.
I mean, you got to get Dixon, right?
Dixon would be good.
And he's going to be there for a decade.
That's a safe one.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, you mentioned the Niners.
Yes.
Where else? I threw out Indianapolis.
I actually believe that if Antonio Brown had played his career in Indy, because if you look at his stat splits, whether it's indoors or outdoors, he's incredible indoors. That shiftiness, that quickness inside with T.Y. Hilton going deep, because that's my thing about Antonio Brown right now when we're debating who's the best wide receiver, him, Julio, Odell, DeAndre, all those guys. He doesn't have the top-end speed anymore.
No.
And that's why teams like Jacksonville, he doesn't get past them anymore because Jalen can run with him. But he needs someone that can be the Ocho Cinco to his T.J. Houshmandzadeh, if that makes any sense.
Triggering for me, but yes.
Yeah, interesting signing by you guys
at
that time.
Really don't want
but
to talk about it.
I think T.Y. would be a good counterpart.
People have burned, sorry.
The chaos part of my brain would love him in New York somehow, him and Odell together, but that's not realistic.
Gase won't do it.
I don't think any team that has a young quarterback.
Oh,
Giants. Yeah, Giants. But I don't think there's any team that has a young quarterback is confident to put those two together.
Yeah.
And there's like 14 young quarterbacks that are like starting right now that are like 3 years of experience or younger.
And that's what stinks because those are the teams that could really use them.
Right.
Like we talked about San Francisco.
Sam Darnold would love them.
Another team that I was looking at cap space, although again, it's not very expensive and thinking about who, like Arizona, man, they could really use him. Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
He would have some fun.
And then you think you have Larry in the locker room to kind of be like the Bill Russell Shepherd.
Yes.
But I've just been so caught off guard by everything that he's done that I've been waiting to see how this gets settled by the Steelers before I think of who's next. Because I just have a hard time thinking anyone can disrupt Pittsburgh and then work somewhere else.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's a good segue to the next guy I wanted to talk about. Speaking of disrupting Pittsburgh, and a big reason why, by the way, Antonio Brown's contract is so untradeable is because they restructured it to accommodate this young man. By the way,
I am not being rude. I am just seeing if Le'Veon Bell's posted on Instagram recently.
Oh, he's checking his phone.
Yeah, I just want to look.
So I thought you were checking Antonio Brown's contract restructuring to see if I was right. But they did.
Never.
They restructured it, because to make room for Le'Veon. I mean, it's all very hilarious and
yes.
I think pretty damning of the way Pittsburgh's handled everything. And it really... I mean, with Antonio Brown, you can criticize him for, like you said, he's been doing this for years. It should have been Le'Veon, I think they deserve all of the blame for not seeing how this was going to play out and some of the financial decisions and sort of team management decisions that they made. But he's gone. You know, there's, I guess, talk that they might transition tag him.
Do you think they will?
No, you got to sign the transition tag. You think they want to go through all of that again and wait for him to come sign it? And I think he's gone. They're going to get a comp pick for him.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Man, how vengeful could they be?
I don't think they'd be shooting themselves in the foot at this point. So I did see Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, who's broken news on the Steelers sometimes, said that he thought that they might try. I just don't see it because of the bad blood and the potential to get a comp pick out of it. You know, it's not like they won't get anything. So I guess I'll start here. You know, so he would be a free agent.
Yes.
Given the changing views in the NFL on running backs and their utility, given what we saw James Conner do behind that offensive line, is he really going to get any money?
I think he's going to get money. I think I remember a lot of people talking about how I can't believe he's throwing away $15 million. And I think if he could get, in my mind, between 40 and 45 guaranteed over like a long period of time, I think that's what he's always been looking for. But it's when you see James Conner have that success, I think Le'Veon's people go look towards the end of the year when it was like the really serious games and he completely disappeared. But Le'Veon, 90 reception guy.
Bingo. And that's
insanely versatile. He's going to want to be paid like a wide receiver and a running back. It's the needy teams. You know, we assume that the Indies and the Jets and the Niners and the Jacksonville Jets, the people that have the huge cap space, that they're going to just throw money at this guy. I want to see what he looks like physically because he didn't look great on the jet ski. He didn't look great. He didn't look great in the strip club with those videos. He looked like he was enjoying himself. And I jokingly call it Lefko PR all the time, where once a week put a video of you working out, which every NFL player is doing right now. And I'm not taking credit. I just said it so that maybe you subtly gave me credit.
Lefko PR.
It actually did it with Odell.
Should I do that? Should I put out videos of myself?
If you put out a video once a week, I'm guaranteeing this. If you put a workout video edited with like some music, people in this office would come up to you and go, man, you're really grinding. And it could all be from one workout that you just distributed over 4 weeks.
What if I did videos of me like podcasting or taking notes or like watching all 22?
If you posted pictures of you watching all 22, people will like, they would start your interviews with, I know you've been grinding on the all 22. I got this idea from D'Angelo Russell a few years ago when he posted a video of him shooting hoops at 3 a.m. And it spread everywhere. And I said, what does it matter if it's 3 a.m. or 3 p.m? But, oh, he's grinding at 3 a.m. But anyway, back to Le'Veon. I need to see what he looks like. I would have to imagine every team has no idea. But I also think his situation is more understandable to them than Antonio Brown's.
Yes.
It's in a weird way, Antonio Brown is helping Le'Veon Bell.
Right. The contrast, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard people talk about
being
like,
sane person in the room.
At least he's not tweeting.
Right.
I've literally heard NFL people say that. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I guess, there's a point there, even though in my mind, Antonio Brown is significantly more attractive as a player you want on your football team to win games.
From positional value.
Positional value. I mean, Bell has the advantage of no tread on his tires this year. That's huge.
Yeah.
He's still pretty young. Was he like
26. 26, like about to turn 27, or maybe just did.
Your point about Connor and what happened at the end of the year, I think, is important.
He fell off a cliff.
And also just Le'Veon, his utility as a pass catcher.
His ability to break tackles.
God, when I look around the leagues at some of these offenses, I look at, you know, some of the ones you mentioned, it is remarkable how valuable he would be to a young quarterback.
Think about it. The Niners went and spent like $30 million on Jerick McKinnon last year because that was going to be the key piece of that Shanahan offense. He got hurt. It didn't exist. They couldn't run that system anymore.
Crazy contract.
And I look at again, Sam Darnold, mainly because they have that money, but Indy, and I think about Andrew Luck with like a Marlon back, Le'Veon Bell, Nyheim Hines, like three-headed monster. That's amazing.
Amazing for that offense too, Reich's offense. Although Indy, Chris Ballard's...
He ain't messing around.
Culture guy.
Yes.
It's like exacerbated the fact that he looks like a 1950s dad. So whenever I see him, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Make sure she's home by 11. Yeah.
He's like in Pleasantville, you know? Yeah. I'm like, that guy's not signing, you know?
Black and white, yeah.
And Gay says, we know, that was his thing in Miami. He was like the, quote, culture guy who was like, J.J., nope. Jarvis Landry, nope.
My underrated teams that I always thought that if the price came down for Le'Veon, I'd like... would be Houston, Baltimore, and Miami.
Houston is, yes.
Houston I love because it plays to his financial insecurity of not having a state tax. I think that the Hopkins, Deshaun Watson, and then trying to pass Lamar Miller as a featured back for the last few years. I feel like it would be perfect for that offense. And the Miami just because he lives there and he parties there and he might want to be the star there. And sometimes you just want to be where you want to be.
The Houston thing makes so much sense to me. I watched a ton of Texans football last year, which sometimes I enjoyed, sometimes I very much did not.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's Bill O'Brien.
One of the B.O.B. signatures was just really overcommitting to the run, even when it wasn't working. But when it worked, that offense, Deshaun Watson benefits so much.
Yes.
An efficient running game.
So a healthy Will Fuller. Yeah.
Phenomenal to have him in there.
Look, we both subscribe to the Warren Sharp school of early down passing to running backs and tight ends.
Please.
And so when you have a guy like that, that can make a man miss and go 60 or just get the first down in the passing game, it's invaluable.
Let me tell you, Todd Gurley was, this looks really bad in retrospect, 4 years. $57.5 million is how much the Rams gave him. So that's about 14 and change. Does Le'Veon top that?
No, I don't think he can.
Well, anyone? What do the Rams do, man?
Well, I start thinking about these young guys. I go, wow, Christian McCaffrey's going to have a really good argument for a big contract in a few years. Zeke, just because Jerry seems to always overpay his love affairs, is going to get up there. We've had a lot of top 10 running backs. And that first contract re-up, just like Todd Gurley, I feel like there could be a few. Saquon, I mean, when he's up for a contract, could easily top that if they're still treading the tires in 3-4 years.
Yeah, that's a big if. And who knows what that offense – I mean, who knows what the NFL is going to look like in terms of how running backs are valued. I mean, when the Gurley contract happened, we were – coming off of like 2 years, I mean, like, no one's going to pay him running back. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I guess the Rams.
But we said the same thing about drafting running backs in the top 10. Oh, and now we've had Fournette, McCaffrey, all those guys.
No one listens to that. Well, so here are some of the other running backs hitting the market this year. So obviously, Cleveland signed Kareem Hunt, but that's not really relevant to the market. Tevin Coleman is
a big Tevin Coleman fan. Are you?
Are you? He really lost me this year.
Because it was really all about him. And
I just didn't think he was very good.
Yeah.
He does have the advantage of not having a lot of usage.
Right.
Which
and he's 25.
Again, so pertinent to the running back thing. Ingram, you mentioned the Ravens. It's funny. I was thinking about Mark Ingram. I thought the Ravens
make
perfect sense for him.
It's interesting because I feel like Gus Edwards emerged late as that bowling ball guy. And that's why I thought about Le'Veon as sort of the pass catcher off speed. I think Tevin Coleman would be great there too. I mean, I did enjoy Gus Edwards late. I know he didn't have a great playoff game against the Chargers. I'd argue it's because they ran the exact same scheme that they did in week 15 against the same team and thought it was going to work.
Yeah.
But who else do you like on that list? Like, I think Yeldon is still an interesting pass catcher. I don't think he's a feature back. I don't think there's any feature backs.
No, there aren't. I mean, CJ Anderson I like as a complimentary piece.
Your guy Mike Davis.
Complimentary.
Yeah.
They're all complimentary. I mean, Spencer Ware has a lot of talent.
I always want a healthy Bilal Powell, and he's coming off an injury, so it's a little scary, he's hitting 30 now.
Well, let's end this running back section. I want to ask you a question about a team I know is near and dear to your heart.
Dallas Cowboys.
I bet they were on my Antonio Brown list. But I was yeah, just as like you said the chaos part of your brain wanted the Giants, and that's like...
Here in Dallas, we do things a little differently. We can do Antonio and Amari, and we do the AA.
Just imagine
how
crazy that would be.
Well, there are teams that are more willing to take risks, I think. Yeah. Like
Different kinds of risks.
You know what's so funny? If the Cowboys sign him, we talk about chaos, and we get Stephen A. yelling and all that stuff. If he goes to the Patriots, it's, did the Steelers make a mistake? they're the ultimate, they change the media.
So spot on. Well, the Eagles. Okay.
Yeah.
You do love the Eagles. Obviously, running game was...
I do not have a tattoo, but if I could get one, I would.
A challenge last year. Do you think they look at any of these free agents?
I hope
Jay
so.
Jay Giant, by the way, is another guy we mentioned, obviously.
Yeah, he ain't coming back. Like, who do I want, or who could they?
Like, what do you? Who do you want?
I think they expected Corey Clement to have a bigger year. I think that I wouldn't be surprised if they, if Darren Sproles doesn't retire, maybe they get him on a small 1 year deal. But that's not the answer. Eagles Nation right now is looking at the draft because just like you and me, Alfred Blue, Ty Montgomery, Latavius Murray, Amir Abdul, like these names aren't moving the needle, and they're all complementary pieces, but. We've seen it time and time again that you can have the committee and that can get it done, but.
And we see third, fourth round.
Mark Ingram is the name. I think,
I think
Mark Ingram
is. I've always thought he's underrated.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's efficient.
He hits the hole. He gets in there. He's a great team guy. Dad played in the NFL too.
645 yards, 4.7 yards per attempt. And we know how he's used. So, I mean, that's impressive.
I do though. I have been impacted by Sims that there are certain offensive coordinators that I give less credit to the players. Sean Payton, Josh McDaniels, Kyle Shanahan, and, who am I missing? Sean McVay.
Brian Schottenheimer, you mean?
Yeah, of course, of course, of course. But so those I always go, well, the hole's there because the scheme is so good.
Right.
But
so I, as you say that, and as I said, yards per attempt, I immediately like regretted it because I'm not a yards per attempt girl.
What are you?
I mean, you God, this is so nerdy.
Get
you really
in
have
there.
To look at a bunch of statistics and
sure.
Concert with each other.
What are the ones that you put together?
Well, I was just about to pull up. I've got True Media open, and I was going to look at Mark Ingram and see, for example, again, this is amongst other things. What is yards before first contact per rush? Where is a thing I enjoy?
Yeah.
Wow,
and
Lamar Jackson. Oh my God. Mark Ingram. Let's see. Is not bad. 2.3.
Yeah.
That's not terrible.
Right.
Okay. Who do you think's number one?
I'm going to go Lamar Jackson because you just said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant yards after.
Oh, yards after
contact. Because yards before, you know, your benefit.
I'm going to go Saquon.
The offensive line. So actually, wow. Okay, I did the wrong thing. Mark Ingram is 2.37, but that's fifth in the NFL. Yards after.
Good for him.
First contact. Yeah.
I'm going to go Saquon, though.
Saquon, six.
Okay. Then I'm just trying to think who else breaks tackles and takes it long and then completely throws off the stats.
This is thrown by a couple of really big runs, I think, too.
Okay, so who is it?
Derrick Henry.
Oh, my God. They were all in the one game against Jacksonville.
You know who's in here, and this is why I love them so much, is Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
You got Hunt. You got Chris Carson, the beast. Well, Frank Gore's still pretty high.
Yeah, like what is it like to have, you know, I feel like you guys have been in the running back market for so long, and now you have Chris Carson and he's flipping over people. He's stiff-arming people. He looks like the full package.
He rolls.
And you just drafted Rashad Penny, who is good for one 40-yard run a game where he does incredible things and then never heard from again.
Mailbag.
Question. Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
All right, so as always,
avoiding the tough topics.
I take questions. Listen, the only person who answers tough questions is going to be you when Lenny's up. No, we take questions from listeners. You can, if you leave a positive review in my iTunes, I'll answer it. I'll get to it.
And it better be a 5-star.
Only 5-star reviews.
You should only read 5-star reviews.
You only get 5-star and 1-star reviews. I've
There's nothing worse than a 3-star that's like, it was okay.
That is more painful than a 1-star.
I agree.
Because the 3-star actually meant it. The 1-star just hates you.
Yeah, the 1-star is just like, I can't handle this liberal. And you're like, all right, whatever.
I get a lot of this is boring or too much Lenny. Tashima Taylor asks, what's your favorite movie set in Seattle?
Huh. I mean, Sleepless came into my mind.
Anything is set in Seattle. Have you
okay.
Seen Anything?
Yeah. What are my other options?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay.
50 Shades of Grey.
Okay. Really?
50 Shades Freed. 50 Shades Darker.
The whole thing is based in Seattle?
I just watched
The Rain makes people do wild stuff.
I just watched one of them on a plane. Don't advise that.
You watched it on a plane?
Well, I figured it was edited and it was a bad decision.
I watch things on planes knowing that other people are going to see me watch.
Yeah,
so like I'll watch Rick and Morty on a plane and I'll purposely watch like the Pickle Rick episode. People are like, what is this guy doing? He's a child.
I'll watch like a really serious movie so people think I'm smart.
Seattle.
I'm going to go with Say Anything. Say Anything's really good.
Okay. I'm going to trust you on that.
This is one of my favorite comments. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the commenter's name is, I think, Busnar is how you say it, B-H-U-S-N-A-R. And it's a really long comment about he is an immigrant. He got into football in his 20s.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a, just, I really appreciate you, dude. But you asked me a question, which is a football question. You want to know, what does it mean when a game is won in the trenches? Thing, obviously, I, being the cliched gas bag I am, I say a lot, and because I love, you know, power football.
It's the only part of the game I really enjoy.
Is there?
Yeah. It's the only part of the game that I, when I watch film, that I truly understand. Like, I think we have to admit when we watch film that we I don't know if it's quarters coverage or if it's cover two and then they're showing press. I have a hard time with that.
But you have an easier time with offensive line play than secondary. Well, that's not true for me.
Cause for me, defensive linemen are my favorite athletes in all of sports.
Yes.
I think that they're 300 pound, 6 foot five, and they can run 4.8, 4.9, 40s. They're the best athletes ever. And to watch them, that's my favorite part.
Mm.
And really, when I pick my division winners before the season, I always look that depth at D-line and O-line. That's my number one thing. Because by the end of the year, the Patriots have 8 D-linemen. Ravens have 8 D-linemen.
It's funny that you in particular say that. So to answer your question, Buznar, and I think this might have been the last time I said it and maybe it piqued his interest. I think I was talking about the Eagles at the end of the season and was trying to explain, you know, why they came on.
Yeah.
And I said they look like the 2017 Eagles and that they're winning in the trenches, which is, to address what you actually asked, it means that the offensive line and the defensive line are just winning. You know, they're winning their matchups, getting their blocks off. And
you can scheme all you want. You can trap and you can pull. But if Fletcher Cox is playing at his potential, the trenches are over. No one's getting in front of that guy. And that's why when you talk to NFL players, you say, what do you watch? They don't watch the ball. They just watch the line. Because if the quarterback doesn't have time, it's over.
JL Photo. I don't like this question. He asks, what would you give to the football gods to go back and hand it off to Lynch? Look, I've explained a million times on this podcast why passing was the right decision. I'm not going to get into it.
Right.
What would I give to the football gods to do to call a different pass is the correct question.
Mm.
I would get a tattoo of Russell Wilson's face on my body. Ho Yogi.
My only other question for you is, the narrative has now blossomed that Belichick was a genius for not calling a touchdown and looking at the other sideline and seeing stress. And then in the preseason, I saw this in Lombardi's book, in the preseason, working on two-point conversion defense, because that was in goal line defense because it was awful. Are you someone that goes, Belichick was a genius, or is that rewriting history?
Well, he had come after he had just made a mistake in terms of with the timeouts,
right?
And so it's one of those weird butterfly effect football history moments where one thing happens and we look at it entirely different. We say, wow, Bill Belichick, what a goof. I'll just say this. I think Bill Belichick's a genius.
Yeah.
And I think he is, more than any other coach in the NFL, is somehow brilliantly capable of making other coaches do stupid things, which is pretty much the story of the last Super Bowl for me.
I think you're right.
Which we've talked about at length here. Koyogi299 asks, ooh, I want to hear your answer on this one. What movie should not have been made into a sequel, and what movie deserves a sequel?
Wow.
So let's start with the bad sequel.
Mm.
Pacific Rim 2 was really disappointing because I love Pacific Rim 1.
I have not seen any of the Pacific.
Those are kind of my...
So my favorite movie of all time, a lot of people don't like my movie advice. My favorite movie of all time is Ace Ventura 2, When Nature Calls.
Oh.
So my favorite movie is actually a sequel.
It's
he's in the jungle. There's a white bat, guano bowls.
There's no way that holds up. My husband references that movie constantly. You know the part where he comes out of the rhinoceros?
Yes, pretty hot in those.
Literally
rhinos.
Every time,
if it's hot, he says it.
No. Every time, like, we see something coming out of another thing.
Yeah,
like ice cream coming out of ice cream. I don't know.
He says it's Ace Ventura.
That sounds really weird.
Movies that shouldn't have had a sequel. I'll stay in that same vein. Boy, was I excited for Dumb and Dumberer.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's a good one.
And was like, wow, these two actors they've taken on so many new roles. This is going to be great. Comedy is tough. And then when I hear, like, the Anchorman guys talk about their sequels and how they really didn't get appreciated till later, doing a sequel is so hard.
Yeah.
So check out the next version of Sims and Lefko. It's going to be great.
Sims and Lefko 2.
I think I really want to call it And Lefko.
And Lefko.
And just
I like
leave
that.
It blank.
I think that's good. I'll go with Speed 2 Cruise Control, My First Date. And a movie that deserves a sequel. you know what? Speed 2 Cruise Control, the failing was it didn't have Keanu Reeves. They replaced him with Jason Patrick.
Oh.
Keanu Reeves was key to
Don't even know who that guy is.
I've always wanted, I've said this before, if there's a movie made about me, I want to be played by Keanu Reeves. A movie that deserves a sequel is tough because, like, I can think of a lot of movies where I want to know what happened next.
Right.
But they ended perfect. Like, Good Will Hunting, for example, where he gets in the car.
Great call.
But you're like,
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. But I did want to know, you know?
I would love to see a She's All That now. And they're miserable. It's like Freddie Prinze Jr. and I can't remember her name. And
Rachel Lee Cook.
They're just
He
awful.
Does, like, ESPN LA, Freddie Prinze Jr. He's like a big LA sports guy.
I didn't realize that The Bachelorette's working for ESPN,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we got room,
apparently.
Room for everyone. Last question. Rory in New Hampshire asks, who is your favorite sort of obscure NFL player or football player? Rory mentions Eric Crouch. Ooh, well, on the line of Eric Crouch, like not an NFL player, but I just taped a thing for our College Football 150, and they were asking about our best college football memory, and I told the story of how I fell in love with option football via Tommy Frazier.
Oh, who I covered Nebraska for 2 years.
Did you really?
I was a news reporter in Hastings, Nebraska, as my first job. And on Saturdays, I would go and I covered Ndamukong Suh in college. And it was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen.
That's crazy.
84,000, when everyone's in there, it's the third largest city in the state. Everyone's heard that. My obscure guy is the reason I have a segment called Whoa, Big Off Season, is Nay Brown. Nay Brown was a receiver for the Eagles that every training camp, whoa, Nay Brown's catching everything. And every year, me and my friends would talk about Nay Brown. And every year, he'd have one catch for 6 yards. And I think everybody has that guy on their team,
right,
where you hear about him in training camp.
The preseason guys, you get super attached to. There's a million Seahawks from years past.
And they write articles. Like, there was one of the linebackers on the Broncos last year. He picked corn for 15 years. Wow. He's going to be great from all that corn picking.
Speaking of picking corn, I'm actually from Nebraska. I don't know if you knew that. I was born there. Yeah, little known fact.
Which part?
Well, it's not
Omaha?
A little known fact if you listen to this podcast, because I probably mentioned
Omaha,
it.
Lincoln.
I was born in Offutt Air Force Base, which is near Omaha.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. That's why I'm a Nebraska fan.
Do you have the World Series, College World Series? You do all that?
No, so I moved away when I was a kid. So I grew up, my dad was in the military, so I lived in like a zillion places. But I'm a Cornhusker. So I think when I've tried to make people, especially I remember when I was a business journalist and I would meet like people in smaller towns.
Sure.
And they'd be like, you're from the big city. I'm like, no, I'm from Nebraska.
Ever hear of the Oracle of Omaha? I'm just like him. Nebraska is honestly an amazing state. They're so nice. I just haven't been back since. Not on purpose. Just hard to get flights.
Well, I would love to go back at some point.
You should go to a Nebraska game.
Yeah, I would like to go to a Nebraska game.
They're really, really
fun. They're going to turn it around. I believe in Scott Frost. Speaking of turning it around.
Oh, good transition.
It's not because I started the plane, but it didn't have like a landing strip, because I want to talk about the top 10 free agents.
Yes.
And I was going to be the first number one. This is ESPN's
list.
Yeah,
we'll go
this
by
is
yours.
Kevin Seifert's list.
Well,
I guess he kind of turned it around, sort of. So maybe it worked. DeMarcus Lawrence is number one. Listen, this podcast, he's probably going to be franchised.
I feel like half the names you're about to read are going to be franchised.
No, actually, you know what? Let's talk about that, because he's probably not going to be franchised.
They're reporting right now that they're working on a long-term deal. But I feel like they're all going to get tagged, and then they're going to say, and we're working on a long-term deal.
We're working on a deal. Yeah. So they're going to tag. I mean, the thing about – so a tag for Lawrence –
second year in a row being tagged.
Second year in a row. So it would be over $20 million.
Yeah.
So the turnaround thing is, you know – he basically, he's had some of his struggles, his injuries, the suspensions, all of that. And then over the last two seasons, he's been incredible.
Yes.
And that's why I'm so confident. I mean, aside from the fact that it's the Cowboys.
And he's in his prime at 26.
He's like, Jerry Jones calls them war daddies, which makes me so uncomfortable when he says it, right?
But he says so many things that make me uncomfortable.
That one's really like just daddy, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, the fact that he had two consecutive double-digit sack seasons and was awesome in both of them is why I feel pretty confident that he's going to get this massive contract.
I always fight for players. But if you're an owner, and who knows what's going to happen, 1 year of 20 to see what happens, maybe you get DeMarcus on a down year. You know, do you really want to do a contract negotiation after he has his best year as a pro? It's not great negotiation tactics, but also you're going to upset the player if you tag him one more time.
Because
he was upset last year.
He was, but he played through it. He showed up. There was no issues, and that's why I think they're not going to mess with him
right
this year. And the fact that he had two consecutive years, and also a lot of these top 10, spoiler alert, are pass rushers.
Right.
And I think that there's not a better option for the Cowboys. They haven't been that good at drafting and developing them. The draft is awesome, but guess what? They don't have first round draft picks. So they're not going to get one of those elite pass rushers.
And
so
the key is, if David Irving was not getting suspended and was not taking things, he is incredible. That was the replacement plan. Taco Charlton was the replacement plan, but DeMarcus is the guy, and they have to pay him. I think so.
And I think he's going to set the market.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the other thing. Again, when we get to all these,
I'm just
pressures,
looking at the list of people.
You don't have to explain why you're on your phone. I know you're researching and not like texting.
That would be funny though.
That would be, yeah. What if you were just tweeting and I opened Twitter and I saw you were tweeting
all of my takes on this show,
or you were just tweeting like, hungry, this is running long. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Sup. So I think he's getting the interesting thing I think about, perhaps the most interesting thing about the pass rusher market and some of these names is who's going to go first and when all this is going to happen. And I think they're pretty comfortable with him setting the market. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if they do something.
Actually think what's interesting about this pass rusher market is there are question marks for long-term deals on all of them. I don't want
to
kind of like
we'll
go
get to
the
yeah, we'll get
yeah.
to them. Well, I
DeMarcus would be the off-the-field stuff, and then also some injury stuff, and you know, can he continue what he did last year?
So here's a guy that I think, I don't know if I would have put him at three, but working off of the ESPN list, Dee Ford.
Yeah, because I'm going to give a monster contract to the image of him being offsides in the playoff. Well, hey, fan base, we're going to unload. Everybody knows he's good.
So, the thing about Dee Ford, if you don't know, is he was really not good at first.
Yes,
okay,
it was confusing.
The numbers are very bad. Then in 2016, he took over for Tom Holley, and he was awesome.
Yep.
10 sacks. Then he gets hurt. Then he comes back this year and has the contract season of his dreams.
Yeah.
14, 16 and a half. Let's see. How many sacks? 13 sacks. Okay. So if you're the Chiefs,
they're probably trying to get out of the Justin Houston contract now.
Are you comfortable giving this guy? Like, would you franchise him?
He is a perfect franchise candidate where you give him the year. Can you do it again? That's why I think the franchise tag, there are very few times you're going to get the Alex Smith experience where the market puts itself in a way where you're left to either give him all of the money or not. Dee Ford, to me, it makes sense to do it for another year.
Yeah.
He gets paid as a top five pass rusher, and prove it to us again, because he has been so up and down.
So up and down.
And I can't give him a long-term contract after that play.
That's what's sticking in your craw, that play. But it wasn't the only time he's been offsides.
He did the Pro Bowl. He can't help himself. And I'm not saying it's because of the one. I'm saying optically. I look at things also from a PR perspective, selling this to the fan base. And that fan base right now is going, we were 6 Dee Ford inches away. That can be taken. If he was onsides, we were in the Super Bowl.
Dee Ford's like, it was more like 9.
Yeah.
It's 13 sacks off of 29 quarterback hits, which is the thing I always look at when a guy has like a crazy sack season. Like, how many, you know, relative to the number of quarterback hits and hurries and stuff.
And do you want a higher percentage or a lower percentage?
Low, because you don't want...
You want him always around
the quarterback. This was like, Bill Barnwell and I always talk about Vic Beasley, who hit that one season when he had like a crazy number of sacks. It was like very close to the number of hits he had, right?
Wow.
Which implied that he was getting lucky. So you can look at that and sort of predict if a player is going to regress. Dee Ford's numbers are good.
I love that.
The fact that he was
good... I need
good
to learn all
your
weird stats.
The fact that he was good in his other healthy season is also promising. The only case I would make, and we'll move on here from here, for trying to get a deal and trying to get that money going now, is if you're the Chiefs, you want to abide by the Seattle Seahawks pioneered mode of franchise building, where when the quarterback's cheap, you do everything else, right? So
my only thing is, when I compare him to all these other names, he's the oldest. He's 28.
He's 28?
Yeah.
What?
I think he was old coming out of Auburn.
That's weird.
Yeah. DeMarcus Lawrence is 26. Clowney's 26.
Dee Ford is 28.
28. Yeah, he's not 24, 25.
That's crazy. That's wow.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
That's...
Because now you're 2 or 3. Now you're 30, 31. Now you're Brandon Graham.
Love our... I'm 33. How old are you?
32.
Just love how we are like, 28? Disgusting.
You're elderly.
When you mentioned the next
Get a
guy,
walker.
Which the 26-year-old... Jadeveon Clowney, yeah. who is the most intimidating person I've ever stood by in real life with the softest voice, which is just a delightful combo.
I did a video when I first got to Bleacher Report with Jadeveon Clowney. He was on the set of a coconut water commercial, and we were playing Heads Up. And I purposely picked Bill Belichick because his name is spelled differently than it sounds. And he went, I don't know who that is. And then it like blew up on the internet. It was like my first like viral video in VR of like, Jadeveon Clowney doesn't know who Bill Belichick is. And I believe Barstool called me an emotionless and energyless hack.
Wow.
And I was like, I made it. This is great. I'm getting attacked.
An emotionless and energyless hack.
We got a chance to interview Kareem Jackson at the Super Bowl. And him and J.J. Watt. And they both talk about Jadeveon Clowney like he is someone they've never experienced before. Just like his strength and his speed. Yeah. And like for J.J. Watt to talk about somebody like that, you know he's special. But I hear Peter King taking shots at him on Twitter today too, saying he's not the hardest worker. So maybe I could see a tag to see how he approaches it. That's the franchise putting that out there to lower his value.
Well, they might tag him, so I want to get that. Yeah, I mean, you know, they might pay Tyrann Mathieu too. They've got a few free agents.
They have a lot. Kareem Jackson as well.
The tag, it makes sense for him. I'll just say this about Clowney: I think I'm higher on him than some people because his statistics, his sack numbers, they're not indicative of everything he does.
The play up guy.
In particular, in the way the Texans use him.
Yes.
They move him around. He's such a piece.
He's like what Trey Flowers is to the Patriots. You know, it's the same kind of thing.
We'll get to that.
Just disrupting and getting in there. And he creates the pressure that leads to the Broderick McKinney getting the tackle.
Yes, and he's phenomenal against the run.
Yeah. I think of all these guys, he's the best run defender.
Oh, no question. He's probably the best of that in his position in the NFL.
I think so, too.
He gets tagged as a DN, right? Not as a...
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I have him listed as an edge, which doesn't exist.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, we'll see. I think probably the tag's coming by the time this comes out.
And, yeah.
Another guy who is almost definitely going to get tagged is Seattle Seahawks defensive end Frank Clark.
I'll let you take the floor.
I mean, this is a no-brainer. The dude's gotten better every season he's played.
Yeah.
He's gotten better. I mean, it's just...
I mean, there's questions off the field, of course.
And, you know, hasn't had an issue.
And he hasn't had an issue.
Over the last... Just thinking from a franchise point of view.
I like the quote when they were playing the Niners, and he said, this isn't Richard Sherman's team anymore. This is my team. Like, I like that. I like defenders that think like that. But, yeah, let's see what he can do. Another year. These guys are all going to get tagged.
Well, I'll say that I think... Frank Clark's a guy that they'll tag and maybe try to work something out with.
Right.
The Seahawks also haven't had a great record of drafting and developing pass rushers.
No.
And have had some unfortunate luck with that. So number 7 is not a pass rusher, just moving on quickly. And we're skipping Teddy Bridgewater because we talked about the quarterbacks last week. But I'm very curious to think, you can almost talk about number 7 and number 9 on this list together. Number 7 is Trent Brown.
Mm.
Number 9 is Trey Flowers. So Brown would, I believe, not be number 7 if not for the fact that the tackle market this year is horrible. I mean, you can look at the list
and he was phenomenal.
Of free agents.
But it's also Dante Scarnecchia.
Yes. I mean, so we know his story. Trent Brown, 7th round draft pick in 2015, traded by San Francisco.
Mountain of a man.
I mean, that's pretty much his defining feature. He's 6'8" and 380 pounds.
Yeah.
Is he the biggest guy in the NFL? He has to be, right?
I feel like he has to be, yeah.
Yeah. So, first reaction is no way. He's gone. There's no way the Patriots are going to – someone's going to overpay this dude, who a franchise tag for him would be like – that's actually pretty expensive, I think, over $15
million. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think, again, they're not going to pay both these guys, right?
Which –
Brown and Flowers.
No.
And when I think about the Patriots and I think about – value, I think about what's out there. I think about the way they coach and develop. I think about Isaiah Wynn, who's still hurt.
That was the first thing I was going to say.
I wouldn't be surprised if they make some kind of effort to keep him.
Oh, you think they're going to keep Trent Brown?
That's what I meant, yes.
And so if they were to franchise tag one, everything I'm reading online is they're thinking Trey Flowers right now.
Yes.
But you're saying that the more valuable position is left tackle, which I would agree. But I feel like they have the offensive lineman Isaiah Wynn there ready to come in.
Is he ready? He had a pretty brutal injury.
Yeah. Well, they'll know more than us in terms of like where he is in his alignment.
Achilles,
by
the way.
I also think – oh, well, that's Achilles. A bad one.
Right, especially if you're, you know, a zillion pounds.
Look, didn't Dante Scarnecchia retire a few years ago? And then he came back after like 1 year.
Yeah.
For me,
he should be getting paid $100 million.
If I'm Bill Belichick and I have Scarnecchia, we're going to make it work.
You don't care. You make it work.
We're going to make it work. But I just don't know how long Scarnecchia is going to be out. You know, they were willing to get rid of the Solders and stuff. But also, that offense, the fact that Brady only dropped 6.5 compared to everyone else in the league dropped 7, and it's this quick offense where interior O-line is so much more important for them than the tackles. I don't see them paying Trent Brown.
Not just them. I mean, looking around the NFL.
Especially with how I feel like now defensive tackles are becoming better pass rushers than ends.
Definitely.
But I think Trey Flowers is the mystery man that doesn't get enough credit there. I mean, he's on every play. But I would value Trey Flowers more than I would value Trent Brown if I was the Patriots.
So the thing about Trey Flowers, too, is he's so perfect for that defense, right? I mean, they move him around. He's so multiple, to use an overly cliche football term. And
egoless.
Even though the Patriots do not have a history of paying pass rushers, right? This is simply not something they I think I wouldn't be surprised, I guess, if they work out some kind of deal with him that is annoying to everyone else.
Oh, 100%. I was going to say that. Like 5 years, $40
million.
Like $8 million a year, and everyone else is paying 16, 17. 1,000%. And what's crazy is he's 25. If there's anyone that could go out there, this is what's interesting. There are so many former Patriots front office guys and coaches that now have jobs around the league. I could see Brian Flores calling up and going, we'll pay you more money to come down to Miami. I could see the Houston Texans doing it. I could see Matt Patricia doing it. There's a lot more Tennessee Titans with Mike Vrabel. I feel like there's a lot more teams that go, he's the piece in our offense too, that I wonder if that market that Belichick owned for so long is now super highly competitive because of that.
Well, this guy's going to get tagged. Number 8. Landon Collins, no question.
Yeah.
And if Dee Ford was coming off the best year, I mean, Landon Collins had the kind of the reverse trajectory, right, where he struggled even before getting hurt with 4 games left, hurting his shoulder. It was a down season for him. I just think, one, he plays safety and based on a positional value, it's a no-brainer. But he's, you know, he's been the heart and soul of that defense.
Super well-loved by the franchise and the fans.
And is just kind of a leader in that locker room. He's more of that hard-hitting run defender.
Right.
So as they transition to, you know, just, I guess, whatever's next for them, I don't know. I can't really see anyone else in the defense that they're going to build around.
They're a franchise in flux. They don't know what they're doing at quarterback. It's the conversation they don't want to have. They've been avoiding it for years. And what do you do in that time? You delay things. You delay Landon. You give him the franchise tag. You let him sit there for a year. They have been on pause for 3 years.
Yeah.
And that's at the detriment of their stars.
I don't think he'll mind either because he can't be satisfied with that season. And I think he would like the possibility to rebuild his own value, you know, in the coming years. So, okay, wrapping this up, number 10, this is I don't know if I would have put him above, like, Earl Thomas and some of these other guys, but
Grady Jarrett?
We've got
Yeah, that, like, to me,
love Grady.
That's another guy that I could see being franchise tag.
They're going to keep him. 25. They'll move heaven and earth to keep Grady Jarrett. No, but
CJ Mosley?
No. God, all these guys are going to get tagged. We got Kwon Alexander, who tore his ACL.
Right.
The Bucs linebacker in week 6.
Yeah, I don't think I would put Kwon. I know he's 24. I don't think I'd put Kwon over CJ Mosley. I think Anthony Barr, KJ Wright are very interesting, even though they're a little bit older. No corners really excite me. I can't believe Earl Thomas is only 29.
I know.
I feel like he's 45.
People talk about him like he's washed, but I think he's, you know, more valuable than Landon Collins, but obviously the age.
Yeah, and then so I can understand Kwon because of his age and his speed and where we are in the NFL with covering speed on the outside and running back some wide receivers, but I have a hard time evaluating anybody on that Tampa Bay defense the last few years. Mike Smith, God bless his soul. Very nice guy. it runs the same defense every single
play.
So
now we've got Todd
Bowles. How do you evaluate those guys?
Todd Bowles, so there's going to be a transition there in terms of the defensive scheme. How we value 4-3 linebackers has changed, too, as well. So it's kind of hard for me to project. I mean, you mentioned earlier his skill set. I think it's very modern in some ways. But, again, he's coming off a torn ACL, so who knows?
Who knows?
Hard for me to say. All right.
I vote veto. Oh. I'm putting Grady Jarrett over him.
Yeah. I mean, just some other guys. I'm looking at this list of, as we wrap up, Sue, the aforementioned Sue.
Right.
That's a weird one. Dante Fowler also from that team.
24 years old.
Dante Fowler's 24.
Yeah, 24 years old.
The cornerback market is ugly.
Ugly. As an Eagles fan, if Ronald Darby's the number one market, we got an issue.
I mean, on this list, Pierre Desir, who I picked as like a deep under the radar free agent, is number two, which is insane.
My favorite under the radar free agent for teams trying to win the Super Bowl but not break the bank is Za'Darius Smith. Wow. The defensive end, inside guy, he can do whatever for the Ravens. The Ravens have an eye for that position, or at least they did with Ozzie Newsome there. And I believe that those are the guys that win you games. It's that first down, second down, maybe he comes on third down, a little bit of a pass rush, but you're 6'4", 300-pounder that every team needs more of them. The Chargers were doomed because they were so darn small.
They didn't have that. The Ravens are the king of, like, me watching in week 13 and some defensive tackle gets a sack. I'm like, who is that?
But he's so big and he's
some,
mobile.
Like, randomly, like, really good. Right.
You got Shane Ray. Shane Ray is there. First round pick.
He's young.
And no one's talking about
him. Well, he's been disappointed for that team. Tyrann Mathieu is another fun one. I mean, the safety market's actually pretty
safety
spicy.
Market is very interesting.
There's a lot of good options there. All right. Well, I guess he's a free agent. That's a way to transition into some cap talk, and not cap in the sense of a cap space.
How much money do you think he made? What's your number?
From
the collusion case that was settled, the NFL was afraid.
$80 million.
$80 million.
Yeah.
I really want it to top 100.
Do you think we'll find out?
Ooh. Well, I'm really curious about the NDAs. I'm curious about all the paperwork that was signed. I'm curious how many people down the line you have to pass it to so that it can't be traced back to you as the one leaking it out.
It's funny that people are so mad about the NDAs because I'm like, what has Kaepernick been talking? Did you guys think he was going to come out? And I mean, it's hard to know what's not being said.
80 is a good number.
Because, right. Like, so to me, I guess what makes the NDAs not a major issue is I'm not sure what would be revealed that would move the needle anyways. Like, I guess some details about the NFL, some embarrassing stuff with the owners, but like, really? Changing anyone's heart and mind?
Think the number will impact people's brains because I believe that if the number is an $80 million or $100 million, people would go, wow, the NFL was really colluding.
No, I really disagree.
Think so?
Because I think
if it came out at $12 million, would you go, wow, maybe they weren't colluding that
I'm
hard?
I'm sorry, you're right. If it was below $20 million, I think people would say, wow, Kaepernick, really, dude?
Yeah.
But if it's a big number, I think the people who would react to that, as you just did, by saying, wow, the NFL really, they already felt that way.
Mm.
And then the people who don't like him would just call him a sellout. I just, that's where we are with this.
But you and I live in the gray, and we can look at the number and go and kind of make sense of it all. Because were you shocked that he took money?
No.
Really? I was a little bit.
You thought that they would make this
go all the
way?
I thought no matter what the number was.
Do you think there would be a tremendous, like, from his perspective as an activist, not only an activist in terms of promoting these social issues, which by all means he can still do. That's not affected by the NDA. But an activist in the sense of like trying to protect players' speech down the road and show what happened to him. Do you think that was drastically impacted by how this played out?
Not if he got a big check, because then it means it worked.
To you.
Yeah, I think that he has never stopped the fight. He has never stopped, like what you were saying, like arguing and fighting for what he wants. I think the thing that annoys me about the whole discussion are the people that are going, okay, now take a job. Just sign with a team. This is what you've always wanted.
Let's talk about that.
And that's not the point.
Because his lawyer came out and Garago said, within the next 2 weeks, and if this happens in the next day or so, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to record entirely. Somebody's going to sign the step up and do the right thing. He mentioned the Panthers and
with Cam Newton's shoulder injury and all that.
Woke jewelry wearer Rob Kraft.
I saw, man, to you, I know that you're not a big fan of Bob Kraft dancing with hip-hop stars. Him embracing Gucci Mane and Quavo last night, he was just hugging him. And they're looking at him like he's their grandfather.
I enjoy the imagery. I'm not a fan of people who think it's a political statement of any sorts. It is amusing to me to see. But anyway,
I would love the Patriots to sign Colin Kaepernick, which would never happen. Right. But it feels like validation right away.
I don't think either of these things are going to happen.
No.
This is going to happen.
We've heard this lawyer say these things before.
Yes,
that a big deal was coming, that he was going to get a contract. I'm one of those people that if Kaepernick wants to play, I want him to get that opportunity to fight for a starting spot. I hope he gets it. At the same time, there's part of me that hope he doesn't play. And the reason is I know that our society will deduce interceptions equals the cause didn't work. And I know that that's not true, but I know that if he doesn't play well, people are going to go, see, I told you he sucked. That was never the discussion.
I know. And that's what's so frustrating, because the question of whether he wants to play now,
right?
How good he is now,
right?
Whether he wants to play for the AAF or whatever, it's all irrelevant to the question of whether he was colluded against in 2017 and 2018. But that's a level of nuance that our brains are not going to.
I love the people like, he turned down $20 million from the AAF. That's crazy. And I'm going, you know what? Go to Teddy Bridgewater right now and offer him $20 million to play in the AAF. He would turn it down too. Yeah. Nobody wants to play in the AAF. My former partner's younger brother is in the AAF, but he wants to play in the NFL.
Is he in Atlanta?
Matt Sims, yes.
So is Young Hoku, my beloved.
Right.
Kicker,
yeah. Well, if you want to play so bad, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you like,
right.
If you want to be on TV so bad, well, then move to like Bangor, Maine. You're not going to do that.
Would you accept $20 million to do a podcast that no one ever heard?
Yes. Because I felt like that was the beginning of our podcast for like 3 years.
So just to put a bow on this Scott Kaepernick thing, look, I think the who won, who lost framework is pretty silly.
Yeah.
I think that if you thought he stood for something important before and that he continues to stand for it, your perceptions are probably unchanged by this. If you didn't like him before,
yeah.
I don't know. I just kind of feel like that's where we are with him. The football question, whether or not he would play, I personally doubt it.
I do too. I
not because of his desire. I have no idea. No idea. No. Anyone who says stop it, you don't know. You know, because by the way, that $20 million offer from the AAF that's rumored.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you haven't heard leaks from NFL teams, him turning down stuff, because they don't exist. Okay. Now, the question of whether he wants to play, I don't know. The question of whether an NFL team would pick him, that I doubt personally, because a big part of the reason the settlement happened in the first place is because they wanted it all to go away.
Yeah.
So it seems weird to me that some team would step up.
Kaepernick has reached yell at the TV level. What I mean by that is as soon as his image is up, if you're in a room with friends, you're not even going to hear the television because people feel the need to give their opinions about that person. Their image creates conversation, and I agree with you, it's repetitive conversation.
Like me and Brian Schottenheimer. All right, final segment, as always.
I'm noticing a trend with you.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
Five questions. Number five is from Lenny.
I'm coming for you, Stugatz.
Number one, who do you think is the most underrated quarterback?
In the league right now?
Yeah. This can be a backup as well.
Oh, I was going to say the Saints guy.
Taysom Hill?
Yeah.
No.
I just want to see it.
Get out.
I want to see.
Get out.
Sean Payton thinks he's Steve Young.
You monster.
All right. Let me just think. Okay. Underrated. Who are the names that come to your mind? I'm trying to think of all the teams.
Of guys who I think are underrated?
Yeah.
Well, I've always been a Philip Rivers gal.
Okay.
I think underrated. Obviously, people think he's very good. I think, you know, he's a Hall of Famer.
I almost started defending Case Keenum.
Well, I think he's underrated relative to.
I think that there are certain quarterbacks in this league. Like, I think Kirk Cousins is underrated.
Oh, I've got a good one.
Like, I think Kirk Cousins gets annihilated all the time. And yeah. I go, he's a good quarterback.
No, you're right. You're right. You're 100% right.
Okay.
Mine's Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was awesome last year.
He was amazing last year.
And everyone is pretending that it didn't happen.
It was his best year of his career. I would argue that last year was better than his record-breaking year. Because that was Kyle Shanahan's year.
That's true. I don't know. It's hard to say, but He's mine. He's my guy.
With Steve Sarkisian, he put up numbers.
Number two.
That's a good one.
What was your favorite cartoon growing up?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Hands down.
TNT.
I had the entire sewer system in my basement. I had the pizza shooting truck. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, my brother had that. I also had I because I.
What was yours?
I
also liked X-Men a lot.
That is mine. So my brother and I watched the entire X-Men animated series. We had them all on VHS.
Yeah.
We taped them all. And one day, I think it was a summer in high school, we went back and watched the entire, Dark Phoenix saga, the entire Apocalypse.
The stories were so good.
Also, the soundtrack bangs.
Really?
Have you gone back and listened to it?
No, I have not. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da Yeah, my brother was like the Pokemon Dragon Ball Z. That was after.
Yeah, me too. Number three. Do you think Doug Peterson deserves more respect? I was thinking about this after the Super Bowl because, like, watching what happened with McVay and then thinking back to the year before.
Right. No, I think he does because he does, but he frustrates me. This is my Eagles perspective. The Eagles, when Wentz went down, tried harder. They ran new plays. They brought up new schemes. The defensive line all of a sudden was better. The offensive line all of a sudden was better. And we go, they're professional athletes. They should be functioning at 100% all the time. Doug called completely different plays when Foles was in.
Yep.
And so I hope my theory about Doug is that he had a great three-tiered coaching system the year they won the Super Bowl. DeFilippo in the third role, Frank Reich in the second role, him in the first role. And I think with Deuce Staley and Groh, he went, I'm just going to do it again. And they weren't up to that level.
Right.
And I think he went, no, this is a unilateral decision. And I think that Doug, his ability to take risk in big situations and not be afraid. Like what you said earlier, a lot of coaches make dumb decisions against Belichick.
He didn't.
Doug was enthralled by it.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of guys that will do that. Sean Payton will do that.
He rose to the occasion.
Yeah.
I think it was because the expectations for him too were lower than some of these other guys that we're talking about.
There was a lot of media that came out against him.
Question four. If you were...
These are all Lenny's questions?
No, he does only one question.
Oh, okay.
And he does it in his own voice. If you were an NFL player, what rap song would you set your highlights to?
Oh, this is my entrance song, but this is not for highlights. It's Junior Mafia, Get Money.
Oh, I know.
That's my more walkout song.
Okay.
If I had to do highlights.
Well, that you have so many that you didn't just answer the question, you added.
I spell my last name off of Method Man from Wu-Tang. Mm. So it's M-E-T-H-O-D, man, and I say L-E-F-K-O-E, man. But do not listen to the first 58 seconds of that song, especially on your podcast. It is not a. It's one of those like talking Wu-Tang intros,
yeah. Right? Okay.
So that might be mine
for highlights.
Yeah, because on the L E F, you could do like different hits. Because I'd be a tight end. That would be my position.
But you would be a tight. Okay.
I have an algae crumpler body. That's my whole. That's my whole mission in life.
I would do Young Jeezy Go Crazy.
Oh, that's
which
a really
has my all time favorite.
That is
rap
my
lyric.
That's my girlfriend's favorite rapper.
Really, Young Jeezy?
When we were in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, he came on stage at the EA Sports party, and she ran away from me to the point where the usher looked at me and goes, "What did you do?" And I go, "I didn't do anything. It's Jeezy." And he goes, "Oh, I get it.
I'm so emotional. I hug the block." Perfect lyric. All right, last questions always from a guy who never gets emotional when he asks questions because he's a hard hitting journalist.
I can't wait to watch.
That's
you do
Lenny. Don't laugh at him. It's only going to get harder if you laugh at him. Sorry about Sims. Not. Wow.
That was really unnecessary.
Are you going to be sad when the Sixers get bounced in the first round by the Pacers?
Wow.
The Pacers.
Yeah.
Dagger.
What are you, an Indiana fan? Well, Lenny, I will say that, yes, because I would say that a lot of my emotions are tied into this team. The Celtics are this cloud hanging over my fanhood that Horford owns Embiid. And it upsets me because Embiid is this monster of a man.
Yeah, he does.
I can't believe Lenny took me down the basketball track and said we're going to lose to an Oladipo-less Pacers team.
Is fanhood a word?
Is it not?
It's like manhood, but fanhood? Well, I always thought of fandom.
Fandom.
I guess... fanhood.
Questioning your fanhood? Did it pop up on Google?
I just Googled it. The only thing I came up with was an Urban Dictionary thing, which I suggest.
That's my dictionary, is the Urban Dictionary.
Toxic fansculinity, maybe?
Man.
That's a real thing.
All the time.
I have it.
They show up in my comments. You just have to respond to them and go, hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you listening.
Do you think the Sixers are going to get bounced in the first round, though, for real?
No. I think we're going to lose in the
second.
I think we're going to make the Eastern Conference Finals and lose.
How do you rank the four, the big four in the East?
Eagles. Oh, damn. I thought you meant Philadelphia teams. I would go Bucks one right now.
Yep, same.
I think the Celtics are going to figure out a way to be two.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go Sixers Raptors.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to put them over the Raptors.
Over the Raps.
I look at the Raptors and I go, I just don't have a lot of, I don't have that much faith in Kawhi. Mm.
Well, Adam, I have a lot of faith in you.
Oh.
And your ability to put out a great podcast on your own, like yours truly.
Yeah.
Attempts with.
That's why I came here to be inspired.
It's not with, I'm not on my own. I've got my dog. But,
yeah. Lenny, see? Now, Lenny and Lefko does sound pretty good.
That sounds
and Lenny,
a little too good.
I'm just saying to you, Lenny.
No.
She's
listen.
Already writing you off. She just said it's a one-woman show. If you want to come over, Lenny, are you there?
I'm listening.
Okay. All right. I'll have my people talk to your people. I'll slide into your doggy DMs.